It's Tuesday, the 21st of April, day 31. Someone in the Bodleian Library at Oxford has had an interesting idea: to record the sounds that one hears in different parts of that august institution and put the soundtracks online. At first sight, this might look, or rather sound, like a daft idea. After all, libraries are supposed to be places where silence is prized. And the stereotypical caricature of a librarian from the 1930s onwards was of a prim matron saying shh very fiercely. And by and large, in Oxford at least, silence seems to be observed. At any rate, no human voices are heard in the soundtrack of any of the four locations for which the recordings exist. There are, however, lots of other sounds. Rustling of paper, a good deal of what sounds like stuff being shoved around, the odd sound of a human snuffle or a muffled cough, noises that suggest that colonies of small animals might be burrowing under desks, and sometimes footsteps. And two of the four spaces sound decidedly echoey, though that's probably because they are splendid high-ceilinged places. But nowhere does one hear a human voice, so the stereotypical association of libraries with silence holds. But this online recording has now acquired a kind of nostalgic air, on account of the fact that the Bodleian is currently closed because of the coronavirus. So there's nobody in there rustling papers, making notes or revising for exams at the moment. A sort of medieval peace has descended on this temple of learning. The students have been sent home, although the science laboratories are full of researchers working on possible vaccines for the virus, or building epidemiological models, or trying to devise antibody tests that might be useful in determining whether people have had the virus without exhibiting symptoms. Although the Bodleian may be physically deserted at the moment, it's still the department within the university that pays the outrageous subscription fees that the publishers of academic journals charge for online access to their publications. If there are any listeners to this diary who are mafiosi, then can I respectfully suggest that they give up their life of crime and become journal publishers? In terms of a return on investment, academic publishing beats protection rackets and other forms of extortion hands down. And it's legal, so you won't get hassled by the cops. I'm an engineer by background, and most of my classmates at university never went near the library. Such places, they thought, were the exclusive preserve of arts students and other unfortunates. But to me, having grown up in a book-free home, the university library seemed like a wonderland. And when, as a graduate student, I came to Cambridge and discovered that I then had access to one of the five legal deposit libraries in the UK, which means libraries that have a legal right to a copy of every book published in the UK, it was like dying and going to heaven without the trouble or expense. But at the moment, that great library is also closed to readers, which is doubly frustrating. Firstly, because now that I have more time to read, there are lots of books in there that I'd really like to get my hands on. And secondly, because I'm writing something about Ernest Rutherford at the moment, one of the greatest scientists of the 20th century, who was head of the Cavendish Laboratory from 1919 onwards. He was famous for his booming voice, and I once saw a photograph of a poster that some junior researchers had hoisted over a particularly delicate piece of apparatus in the lab. On it was written, "Please shout quietly, Professor." I need to find the source of that story and a copy of the photograph. And I know it's in the university library somewhere. But just now it might as well be in Timbuktu.